Welcome to 10 Bestest,
where we sift through the noise so you don't have to.
Each week we share our 10 favorite things of the moment.
Anything goes. Thanks, everybody. I'm Brian Hart, and with me today we have a very special guest. We have Mickey Trowbridge here. Mickey, welcome to the show.
Thank you. So happy to be here with you.
Yes, this is a long time coming. We've actually been trying for months. When two very, very busy people try to mesh their schedules, it gets difficult. And this is, I think, take three of
it
us
is,
finally getting
here. We finally
here.
Made it happen.
But
third
we made
time's
it
the
happen.
Charm.
Yes, and it's going to be great. Mickey, before you tell us about yourself and then we get started. So I talked about yoga and beer in episode 164, and you're the founder, one of the founders?
The founder.
The
yep.
founder. The,
yep.
fi- the founder.
Founder.
So, yes, and hopefully I did it justice, but
you did.
It's so cool that you're here, and we've been friends way before that, too.
Indeed.
But I'm just really excited to have you here. I know you're going to have some really good ones. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm a Salem, well, I wasn't born here, but have lived here since I was five, so I consider that my whole life.
Yeah.
Lover of this community and just super excited to be able to support the great things happening in our local Salem community here. And part of that is our yoga and beer community, which I founded a little over 7 years ago. And now it expands way beyond Salem. But the idea is quite simple, an opportunity to come together to connect with ourselves through yoga and then to connect with our community and local businesses through beer and now also sometimes wine and coffee and pretty much any cool space that exists. The last year has been all virtual, so we've moved things onto YouTube, which has been fun to just see our community in a different way. So that's a big piece of what I do with my life, but I also teach outside of that as well. So just yoga teacher by day and night and weekend, and just supporting community as I can. And then recently have also stepped back into, so my previous pre-yoga career was nonprofit work, and have recently stepped back into that a bit. And so I'm helping support the capital campaign for our local YMCA as we build a new building for this community. So yeah, that's me.
Yeah, you do a lot of stuff, a lot of really cool stuff too. And I think that's how maybe we met before when you worked for a different...
Yeah, I think all the way
Boys
back
Girls
to
Club?
United Way, even before Boys
oh,
and
wow.
Girls Club.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a while, so
it
that's
has.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and plus you just do so many cool projects. I think you helped with the very first TEDx Salem.
Yes,
I think you led one
right.
of the breakout sessions.
Yep.
So that, yeah,
I led a meditation,
yeah.
or it was yoga first, and then I
yeah.
taught, I led a meditation and like easy movement session
yeah.
on the main stage for
yeah.
one of them
at a,
as well.
At a different
yeah.
one, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, really cool. Yeah,
that's
so that's awesome. all right, well, we'll learn more about you too, but I'm going to go ahead and get started with my first cool sheet, and this is a company, and this company is called Black Men in White Coats. So it's blackmeninwhitecoats.org. And in 2013, the Association of American Medical Colleges released an alarming report informing that the nation that was already a low number of black men applicants was actually decreasing. So this really was a wake-up call and a call to action, and they founded this Black Men in White Coats to increase the number of black men in the field of medicine by exposure, inspiration, and mentoring. At first, it was just building awareness, but of course, building awareness isn't enough. So then it became, they partnered with this Diverse Medicine Inc. to bring this technology meetings for mentoring. So people in all kinds of different economic and backgrounds, and it doesn't matter where they live, they can get this mentorship by other professionals and really help them out. And they're just doing really cool things. They also partnered with Pre-Med Star, which is provides recruitment opportunities. So we're not only mentorship, but then also getting the job, which is really important. But so I thought this is very cool, very needed. But then I was like, well, why is it just black men? And actually, there's a whole bunch. There's Women in White Coats. There's White Coats Black Doctors Foundation. There's the Association of Black Women Physicians. So there's other groups also that are doing this. The other one was just the one that I happened to find first. Now, this is important because diversity in culture is better for everybody, and we obviously need more diversity in our hospitals. A lot of people, they might feel more comfortable with someone that looks like them. So once again, that company is Black Men in White Coats.
I love that. What a great cool sheet for today.
Yes. And there's too many things to talk about in just 2 minutes.
Definitely. But that sounds like some really critical and important work.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, absolutely. And there is a study that people of color don't get as good of care. Yeah. In hospitals. And that was done in 2005 by the Institute of Medicine, a not-for-profit, non-governmental organization. So this doesn't have any affiliation with anything. Mm-hmm. And the facts were there. And having more diversity is going to help that. So it's a very much needed cause. And some people might say it's because of a difference in wage or in something like that, which is somewhat true, but and also talks about more issues of people of color and the things that they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. But also, it's just there's implicit bias. There's other things at work that might not even be, and that might be triggering for some people that are in the medical field. But it's always worth taking a look and seeing how you can do better. And these companies are doing that, so super important.
Definitely. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Mine feels not as critical or as valuable to the good of our communities as yours.
Yeah, no, wait until you see my next ones.
Okay, good. Well, so my first cool sheet is inspired by, so I recently gave up TV watching and haven't watched TV for 2 months, which has been a lovely transition, but it's made me look at my evenings in terms of like what mindful activities can I put into my time that aren't necessarily productive, but are enjoyable. And so my first cool sheet is about puzzling, but specifically a local puzzle company that I didn't even know we had a local puzzle company. Better Co. is the name of the company. I grew up doing puzzles my whole life and never really thought about where they came from. I just assumed, I don't know, it came out of the sky or... Never assumed that there was an actual human behind these companies putting thought and attention into them. But local community member Ben Thomas has created this company to focus on really beautiful puzzles, right? Working with artists to create puzzles that are visually pleasing and not just sort of your standard puzzles that you get at the grocery store or wherever you buy your puzzles. So the puzzle I'm currently working on is this ginormous bookcase. It's like every book lover's dream with just books upon books upon books. But there are puzzles that have flowers and there are puzzles in outer space and drone images and color gradients. They all look relatively hard, which I'm pretty excited about. Some of them are round, some of them are rectangular, just sort of a different approach to puzzles. And I've really been inspired by what I've seen and also just love any opportunity to support something local. Then created the company in 2019, and you can buy their puzzles online at betterco.com.
That's super cool. So, and puzzles, I think, have really gone up since the pandemic.
Indeed.
Because I've noticed even people that don't do puzzles always have them on their table now. Because it's a cool thing to do, I think, with your family or just if anybody stops by. It's very cool. Yeah, I've noticed that. And that's cool. I don't think I knew that I think I heard that, but then I never followed up. So I'm really glad you brought that cool sheet there because it is cool.
Yeah. It's a great way to spend the evening, especially with all this time at home.
Yeah, right. Since we're not going out as much. Yeah. And the no TV, so that's, how hard is that for you? Is it easier?
It's getting easier each week.
Okay.
So at first, definitely, I realized it was kind of part of a routine that I'd established for myself. It's like you get done at the end of the day and you're just tired. And so it's an easy thing to turn on and to entertain yourself with.
Right.
But now as I build other routines into my evenings of doing a puzzle or some of my other cool sheets that I'll be focusing on.
Yeah.
I start to look forward to those things as well. And I actually have been finding in the evenings that I have like more motivation to do other things as opposed to just being like, all right, couch time.
Yeah. Which, means you, and you're usually not moving much and you're just sitting there. You know, I didn't have cable I still don't have cable technically. And I didn't have it for that specific reason. I didn't want to watch TV as much. Now there's so many streaming services that I might as well have cable because I have... And then I was like, I'm only getting Netflix. And then, now Disney Plus. And, well, I already have Prime, so now I guess I have Prime. And I'm borrowing Hulu from this friend. And it's too much now. I do try to select my two shows a season, essentially. But I think that's grown now to probably more than two, probably three
or four. We can
blame
that on COVID.
It's hard because there are a lot of really entertaining, really good shows.
Agreed.
So that's difficult, but it's
We did the math not too long ago because we don't have cable proper.
Yeah.
But we have all the streaming services,
right.
And I think we're actually spending more across all the streaming services than just
paying
for cable.
Very true. Yeah. It's not about saving money. At first, it might have been, but now there's so many. And then there was this commercial just because I was watching the Super Bowl, and there's like another one coming out. I'm like, seriously, another one? My Lord.
Just add it to the list.
Yes. Although I did cut a lot of those during COVID too, which might be the opposite with some people, but I was just like, I need to cut some of these because it adds up, like
it
you
does.
Said.
Yeah.
And when you're all of a sudden like, am I going to have a job for very long? You have to cut expenses quick.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So, well, I commend you for it, and I'll be interested to see how you do with that.
Thank you.
All right. My next cool sheet. So this isn't quite as serious, but it is it's a movie, and it's called Faces, and it was directed by John Cassavetes in 1968. This film has really stuck with me over the test of time since the first time I saw it maybe 20 years ago. John Cassavetes is a pretty well-known actor. He was in 80 films, but he was also considered one of the pioneers of American independent film. So he starred in a lot of his movies, in fact, that he really didn't care for, but he just wanted to get paid to then finance his own independent film. So he financed and wrote and shot these movies. He only did 16, I believe. And Faces is one of them, and it's about a middle-aged man who leaves his wife for another woman shortly after his ex-wife also begins a relationship with a younger partner. The film follows their struggles to find love amongst each other. So it's not a super happy film. It's pretty dark. For some reason, I tend to gravitate towards dark movies, but it's hard to describe the film. It almost seems like a documentary. Like you just feel like you are in the room, kind of a fly on the wall, watching these people live their life. There's no big elaborate scenes. It kind of takes place at either this apartment building where this other woman is, or at his place with his wife and kind of their argument. And it deals with all some very difficult subjects. But it's true to life. I mean, there's a lot of really real moments, you know. It isn't a typical Hollywood film where, especially back in the 60s, where, you know, there was always a happy ending and kind of a storyline that followed this one through line. It's very different, very raw. And I just keep thinking about it all of the time. So if you have time, check out Faces. Nice. Good job on that.
Thanks. I'll have to maybe break my my no screen time for some
Faces. Yeah, do movies count too? I gotta think, right?
Yeah, it's not, they count. I've been making space.
Well, it's not TV.
Right.
It's a movie.
There will come a time where I start to make those exceptions.
Yeah.
I do have an exception where, like, if I go to someone's house or I'm hanging out with a friend and that's what they want to do and they initiate it, that's fine.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So now you have to call up a friend. Hey, do you want to see Faces? Right? You do, right? Haven't you always wanted to see that? And maybe I could come over too and watch a really depressing movie about how shitty life could be.
That sounds great.
Like real good friend time.
Yeah. Oh, if we weren't already supremely aware of that after the last year.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it's... Yeah. What does that say about me? These are the kind of films I'm watching in the pandemic. It's funny, too. Actually, I did mention it to a friend because it was from a streaming service, Criterion Channel, and they're like, oh, what have you been watching? And I'm like, oh, a lot of Cassavetes. And she's like, which one? And I'm like, Face. And she's like, dear Lord. She's like, what's going on over there? And I'm like, what? I like it, even though it's awful. Yeah, I don't know.
Not everyone tunes in for the comedy and the lightheartedness, right?
Yeah, I've kind of have that reputation too for movies. It's really strange because I'm like the opposite person. It's like I live vicariously through the darkness there. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I probably need to see someone for it.
It's okay. That's what I tune in for as well. Yeah. My husband and I always struggle to find something to watch together because wants the laughter and the Will Ferrell comedy,
right?
Lightheartedness.
I'm always glad after I start watching it, but it's never my go-to.
Nope.
Yeah.
I want dark and depressing and heavy and thought-provoking. And
right? Well, it's good to have a partner that you have that balance, though.
Indeed.
So that's because he, I don't know, does he appreciate when you bring the more serious films to
the
table?
He does. Maybe not in the moment that that's what we pick to watch, yeah. right? Like, he's yeah. already, you can tell, like, the phone's already coming out to, like, play games or whatever, but he always says after the fact. And I say this about the humor and the lightheartedness, too.
Yes.
Like, okay, that was actually enjoyable.
There
Thank you
go. See? Perfect. Yeah.
So my second cool sheet is Book of the Month Club. So along with my puzzling in the evenings, I also am an avid reader. While I love going to local bookstores, and I do that quite regularly, and love just perusing the aisles, my favorite part of when I travel or when I'm at a bookstore is finding the staff picks wall where they suggest books and tell you why. And Book of the Month Club, which has actually been around since, I think, the early 1900s, like 1920s, has started in the last few years kind of modernizing how they do this. And so they now have an app and a website where you basically pay an amount per month to be given a selection of 5 hand-picked books to choose from once a month. And so on the first of the month, or if you have the app, it's 2 days before, and me and my friends compete to see who finds the books first. But they load your 5 selections in based on their staff picks, focusing on new debuts, kind of new perspectives and new authors, and literature that they think has something to share, like a message that people need to read. And you get to pick one of those books to be your book of the month. And it's like $14.99 a month, but you get a hardback book, which nowhere can you buy a hardback book for $14.99. And then you can add additional books into your box. So it's become the highlight of my month, which says a lot about COVID. Looking forward to what those 5 books are being, getting to pick my book of the month, and then getting that cute blue box in the mail. And it's just fun. I've discovered that a lot of our local community of readers does this Book of the Month Club. And so it's kind of fun to connect with people and see what they're choosing, and then to pass the books around after the fact. Just kind of a unique book club and a unique way to discover new readers or new authors and new reads.
Yes. Okay. This is so cool. I meant to say also when you were talking about things that you love that, yeah, you're an avid book reader, which is really okay. cool. And I kind of go up and down. This year, I seem to really be on my book game right now. I think I've read 5 books this year, which is good for me.
Yeah.
But this, I've always been fascinated with Book of the Month clubs, but now it has been a little harder for me. So now that they're kind of online and apps and things, maybe this is a time for me to get into one. Because what I love about this, and I'm in a couple different movie clubs, which is essentially the same thing where we watch one movie a month and one person picks it. And especially pre-COVID, we used to have a potluck, get together, have a potluck, you know. So then we'd share food and community and then watch the movie and then talk about it afterwards. And now we do it virtually, so it's not quite the same. You're at your own house, and we meet before on Zoom and then after on Zoom, and you cook your own food. But it's still cool because what I like about it, and I imagine the same thing with Book of the Month, is it always a movie or a book that you would pick necessarily
right, exactly.
yourself. And that's the best part. Now, some people might think, oh, I want to read what I want to read. And I'm usually like that, but I'll always read the same kinds of books.
Yep.
I know I love them and I'll enjoy them, but I love having something that would totally be outside the realm of what I might consider myself. So I'm going to actually take a look at that book club too.
Yeah. It's introduced me to some authors that now will top my favorite authors list that I would have probably never picked up otherwise.
Right.
So yeah, definitely check it out. If nothing else, I mean, even if you don't subscribe to the service, you can still see the 5 books every month.
Right.
And just for the ideas.
Yeah,
their
sure.
social media highlights those 5 books throughout the month. And they've been doing fun things like, if you like rum, this is your book that you would pick this month.
Oh,
and if
cool.
you like gin, you know, like just kind of cute things like that.
Yeah.
So definitely a good source for reading ideas. And
that's very cool.
Yeah.
That's great. Now, tell me, it costs
It's $14.99 a month. And you can pick, so it's kind of like, it's one of, you know, there's so many of these subscription services popping
right,
up, right? Kind of
right.
same model. And with that, you get to pick, that includes 1 book per month. And then if you want to add on additional books, they're $9.99 a month, which is still, I mean, like, it blows my mind.
So,
so it's the cheapest hardback book ever. And then if you look at the 5 books and you're like, no, I'm good, then you skip a month. And so they then don't charge you for your next month subscription, and you have
cool.
a credit left to use on the next time you do want a book.
Very
so
cool.
it's pretty low commitment and nice. Yeah,
this sounds really cool. So after you pick your book, do you have a place where you can kind of talk about that book with other people later?
They
or
just
not?
Started virtual book clubs. So that's kind of a new thing they've done.
Yeah.
What's sort of organically happened, you know, we have a book club in my yoga community, right? So Like we've formed this little community of people who read. Uh-huh. And so we've discovered that a lot of us are Book of the Club, Month Club members.
Already.
So we've started kind of informally chatting about the books afterwards and passing them around.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
All right. That's exciting. All right. Well, thanks for sharing that. My next cool sheet is a website slash project, and this is called We Are Not Divided. I actually talked about a website, Reasons to Be Cheerful, way back in episode 127. So that is actually, this is a project of that website, but, and I almost didn't talk about it because it's related, but it really needs its own 2 minutes and its own cool sheet. It's newer. It's a newer project than back when I talked about it. So it's a new thing that they're doing. But they said conventional wisdom says that we are hopelessly divided, that we have little in common, and that our disagreements are signs of a fundamental inconsolable rift. But the narrative masks the larger truth that we humans are incredibly skilled at overcoming division. So this was a highlight, like I said, from Reasons to Be Cheerful. And for 6 weeks, they're exploring our capacity and deep desire to bridge our divides. So it's a special project published in collaboration with media outlets across North America. And they're delving into many ways that people come together through science, politics, technology, religion, social movements, and culture. And we're telling the stories through evidence-based reporting, analysis, and first-person experiences. So I love this because I am very much trying to be more aware of our differences and divides and where we need to focus attention. But I also do sometimes that gets so heavy in real life that it's really hard. Like you do almost feel hopeless. So I really like this. There are things we need to work on. That's obvious. But there's a lot of good things happening. And if we can see good things in this area, maybe we can see them in this other area. And I really like that idea that there is hope. There are things that we are doing. We are more connected than divided, even though sometimes it totally does not feel like that. I just really like this project, and I think it's worth checking out. We Are Not Divided.
Shoo, shoo.
Nailed it.
I'm definitely going to check that out. That has just been a reflection of mine this last year.
Yeah.
How I think so many of the issues and the struggles we're facing right now really do come from that place of divide. And then let's layer on the fact that for the last year, we haven't been able to sit down and have conversations with people and find that common ground, right? We're literally physically isolated and separated. And I think what you find when you sit down and have conversations with people that aren't about trying to convince or just tell your side of things, that when we sit and listen to one another, there's so much common ground and so much shared space of what we're looking for in life and what we're wanting and what we're trying to build together. And so that project sounds just very timely and like what our culture and our communities need right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It is odd. Yeah, COVID and the pandemic has definitely accelerated and other things. You know, social media is really good about filter bubbles and causing anger and creating more divide, which is always what it was intended to do, the opposite. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of what's happened. So yeah, it's, yeah, when you actually talk to somebody, you can come to the table and have totally different opinions and ideas. You can realize that you have almost everything in common, mm-hmm. maybe a couple little ways to approach a problem. And you might walk away from the table and still have a difference of opinion, but there's the respect. You just see that person as a human being that also has fears and is hopeful for a better future. So it is super helpful, and we haven't been getting enough of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just because your opinions might differ when you leave that table and you haven't actually changed your view or your opinion, you might understand their opinion a little bit better, and there's power and understanding.
Yeah,
and all the sides and all the angles.
You just don't get that online.
No, you don't.
As much, yeah.
Zoom is a nice, like, filler for what we have to do this year, but it does not inspire the same type of conversations.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So. Cool.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
You're very welcome.
So my next cool sheet is my favorite meditation inspired by a poem of the moment. I tend to have a meditation for each year that just seems to be my go-to for where I'm at in life. And so this year's, it started near the end of 2020, is a meditation inspired by The Guest House by Rumi. The Guest House reads, "This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival. a joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house, empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. And I love this poem. I actually have it printed out in a few different places in my house, because I think so often the message from yoga and the message from our self-care and self-help communities is one of just think positive, just breathe through it, stay rosy and keep those rose-colored glasses on. But what meditation and mindfulness actually tells us is that all of these emotions, what we would maybe identify as negative or positive, good or bad, right? They all have a place and a purpose. And to really kind of be human and to process all of these emotions is to sit with all of them. But then, and I heard this described, and the guest house starts to get here, and this is why I've kind of picked this, but then to not let them move in, right? So that's the difference of like your sad and overwhelming emotions can come and visit you and sit at your dinner table, but then they need to go eventually when the time is right. And so over the last year, as things have just felt so overwhelming and all of these emotions have flooded so many of us, my meditation has really become each morning, whether I'm seated or walking or driving or in the shower, taking some moments to identify like who are the guests today, calling them out by name, kind of like letting them be. And then also identifying which ones have started to move in that maybe have served their purpose.
Man, that's really, really cool.
Thank you.
Wow. I missed my mark to do the shoo-shoo, so like I was so into it. That might be the first time that's ever happened for me, so congratulations there. I was in
delayed
it.
Delayed shoo-shoo.
Yeah. I was like in it. Wow, that's really cool. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I'm definitely going to take another look at that as well. And that's actually a good reminder. You can get show notes on this episode, so you can find that poem and all of the other links at tempestus.com/coats. So it's 10bestus.com/coats, and that will take you right to this episode and all of these links. But yeah, what a beautiful poem. That's really cool. I do a lot of meditation almost every day. I've really gotten back into it. It's kind of a roller coaster that I go on. But this year, I kind of decided that I wanted to do it most every day this year and see how much I can do that. I think I've missed one day.
Good job. Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you so much. But I never really go in with an idea like that. Well, that's not totally true. I do several different kinds. Sometimes I'm doing loving kindness, and that's pretty specific. And I'm going through the Headspace. They have like a whole series of like pro level. I think I'm on pro level 4 right now. And that's interesting.
Sounds so elite and fancy.
I know. Or it sounds like a cult or some kind of space. I just talked about Heaven's Gate, where they get on the spaceship and go to heaven with the aliens. So that's what it sounds like to me, the level 4. You know, so.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Which it is funny, though, because I was like, first of all, am I a pro meditator? I mean, that kind of goes against the whole meditation as well. And it seemed really odd in multiple levels, but it's just like, if you meditated before, then here are some things. And he kind of breaks that down. Like right now we're talking about, I think, doubt, I think, is the focus of the 4th level. And which is interesting to me, because that never creeps in my meditation. Like that never has come about before. And there's been a few different things where he's like, this week we're going to focus on this. But it's actually helpful, because maybe not during a meditation, but in life, doubt happens all the time, and these other things happen. So it's been really helpful. Nice. But now I really like that.
Loving kindness was my meditation for 2019. That was my focus.
Oh, cool.
And I don't always, I think it's good to sit on your cushion or do whatever you do for meditation and not necessarily have expectations of where you're going.
Sure.
But for me, I have a very, there's a reason I'm a yoga teacher and do this stuff. Like, I need it probably more than everyone else.
Yeah.
I have an incredibly busy mind. And so it's helpful for me to at least have a starting place sometimes where
sure.
I like have a routine where I sit down. And if it was the loving kindness meditation, I start there. Right now, it's this sort of like envisioning my guest house and who's yeah. in it and what those emotions are for the day. And then I might allow it to take more of just a soft kind of empty open meditation space.
Yeah.
But if my mind's not willing to go there and it keeps squirreling everywhere,
you
I've
have
got
somewhere
this to come back to.
Go to.
And it
yeah.
just feels like my work of the moment.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That, you know, this is a question I've always meant to ask yoga instructors. You teach a class, of course, right? Mm-hmm. So do you also then practice on your own yoga?
Yeah.
What do you call them?
Practice.
Practice.
Asana
yeah.
poses. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So even if you're teaching on, you know, on mm-hmm. a Tuesday, mm-hmm. you'll do it earlier in the day on your own
yes.
as well. Yeah.
And I think, I mean, that's a commitment I've made to myself. I know a lot of my fellow yoga teachers do this too, that whatever you're teaching on the mat, you should have at some point, whether it's that day, have experienced in your body as well.
Mm.
And part of my process for getting ready to teach is to have my own practice. So I don't ever teach, like whether it's a 9 a.m. class or a 6 p.m. class, I don't ever teach on a day unless I've already practiced myself.
Okay.
Whether that's, you know, practice can take a lot of different forms. So that could be 30 minutes of meditation. That could be an hour of asana, of the postures.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, it definitely, it's a constant battle, if you will, as a yoga teacher of you kind of feel like if you lead a class, you feel like you've done yoga a little bit for the day.
Right. But it's different.
It's a very different process, right?
Yeah.
Because when
okay.
you're teaching,
that's interesting.
It's external.
Yeah.
And it's busy and there's a lot going on. And when you're on your own mat, that's about that interconnection of self and the deepening of the subtleties of your connection and your energies inside and
sure.
all the things that the practice opens up. And so it's a slippery slope as a teacher to start to rely on the classes you teach as your practice because it.
Yeah. Well, it's in a weird way, it's almost opposite,
yeah.
right? Because you are, yeah, you're focused outwards.
Yeah.
Where when you're practicing yoga or any kind of mindfulness, you're always supposed to be kind of focusing inwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's almost like you need it more, even more so.
Yeah, exactly.
To do it.
Exactly. And that's, there's a lot of conversation, or at least there should be a lot of conversation that in teacher trainings and whatnot of.
Yeah.
How you stay committed and fresh as a teacher,
right.
and that teachers should always be students first. And if you stop being a student, you also kind of stop being a teacher.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's really cool. All right.
Yeah.
Well, great. I learned. That's like a bonus cool sheet right there. I love it. All right. Whose turn is it?
It's your turn.
It's mine now. Okay.
We're just so in the roomy moment.
I know, absolutely. I'm still, yeah, that like totally mesmerized me. It was really cool. That's when you know it's something good.
Indeed.
All right. My next cool sheet is some food, actually. And this is Maya Kamal, I believe. And Maya Kamal is a person who published two South Indian cookbooks. And she actually won her first book, Curried Flavors, won the Julia Child Best First Book Award in the International Association of Culinary Professionals. Talk about sounding important. That surely does. She was raised in Boston by a South Indian father and a mother from New England. And so she grew up in a multicultural home filled with delicious and diverse food. In 2003, she left the publishing world and launched a line of fresh Indian sauces in partnership with her husband in their Brooklyn apartment. So I love those kinds of stories. Her products include both shelf-stable, which blows me away, and refrigerated sauces, including tikka masala, curries, dal, chana, or even rice pouches, and even a spicy ketchup. Really cool. So what I really want to talk about is the dal. I love dal so much. But I don't normally like prepackaged meals that often. I don't like the package waste. Usually they're loaded with preservatives. But these are actually really great products that do help in a pinch, because every once in a while your schedule is really busy. You either forget to pack a lunch at work or you're on the go. And to find something healthy is also another really, really difficult task. And this has the best of both. So it's this really wonderful dal. It tastes delicious. It's vegan. It's plant-based proteins, and it's shelf-stable. I don't know how, but it doesn't have any preservatives. It's like magic. But it tastes so good, and it has little pro tips in the back where it'll say, like, Maya likes this with fried shallots and coconut and things like that. So you can also embellish it. You could have it with some rice. It's just really good, and I'm super thankful that I found it. Maya Kamal.
Shoo, shoo.
Yes.
And now I'm very hungry, so thank you for that.
Yes, it's, well, actually, and I have this one, and I will give it to you if you would like it,
okay,
to try it.
Sure, I'd love that.
You don't have to eat it for now or for this lunch, but yeah, if you ever want a little snack. And you've been to India
several times, yeah.
Yeah, so this will either be like absurd, like, oh gosh, this is not dull. Or it might be, you know what, for what it is, you know, I'm sure she's not claiming it to be like you're in South India.
Homemade food in India.
Yeah, but, you know, it might be close. It's certainly better than a Hot Pocket or something
like that.
So, yeah, I will be very interested to see what you think.
I would love to try it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Indian food is some of my favorite. And you definitely
have to
change your expectations when you're not within the country of India, right?
I bet. Because that's true anywhere you go, but I got to imagine it's amplified with the amount of flavors and what makes Indian food so magnificent is all of the rich spices and everything tastes so. I can't even imagine. I haven't been there, and I should go there just for the food. I mean, obviously, everything else, the culture and everything else about it. When you go, I always get jealous, but also I love living through your pictures and your recollection of it, because it's
you're not the only one. That's why I post them.
yeah, absolutely. I need to get there though.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Where do you, and you can cut this, or if this where do you locally pick this up?
So I believe, I haven't been to Life Source to see if they have it, because it seems like it would be a Life Source item too, but I think they go in big national chains like Costco and Safeway even. So any listeners that are, you know, might not have Life Source, wonder what that is, which is just our local health food store, which is a magnificent place. But so I think you can also get it on Amazon if so that basically anywhere in the United States you can get it, or other countries, hopefully even. It's relatively cheap for what it is. I mean, this is, of course, this is like two servings, which is really, but it's only 320 calories at the double serving. So that's really good news. And if you just add a little rice to that, oh my gosh, super tasty, super filling and not bad. And like I said, really healthy, because it's just lentils and peppers and so much goodness. So
I'm excited.
Yeah.
And also extremely distracted now, because I'm so hungry. No, I want Indian food. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, my next cool sheet is my favorite app of the moment, Duolingo. So as I've turned off the TV, I've tried to be really mindful about not increasing my screen time on my phone, because that's an easy substitute. But if I'm going to be on my phone in the evenings, then I want it to be productive and educational. So Duolingo has become my new favorite friend. I believe I'm 69, or I think today will be 70 days into a Spanish studying streak. Duolingo is a free language learning app, and they have all kinds of languages on this app, Spanish being one of them, but also if you really... I don't think this is legitimately a language. Maybe if you really believe in Game of Thrones, then it is. But you can learn High Valyrian on this app. But then more seriously, you can learn French and German and Swahili and Arabic and Hindi and Navajo, just a whole variety of languages. And so while I studied Spanish in school and college, and so I use it to kind of keep those skills, air quotes skills, fresh and up to date, I also use the app when I'm about to travel, which obviously hasn't happened in a while, to a country, so that I can start to get some of the language under my belt, just enough to be able to get around and ask questions and read signs and those sorts of things. It is so well organized. It makes my to-do lister type A brain very, very happy, because you just kind of go through a checkmark of lessons and you earn points and you compete on a leaderboard with other people that are also studying the language and using the app. You can earn prizes and awards along the way. And then you can have these streaks, right, of 69 days where you have studied every single day. And so it just feels productive and like there's tracking of what you're doing. The lessons kind of go between listening and translating and writing what you hear to forming sentences in the language you're learning, filling in the blanks, speaking and having them give you feedback on your pronunciation. So just a really amazing app, and the fact that it's free, there's definitely levels of the app that you can pay for, but to log in and study the language every single day is free. And that's just really, really incredible.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much for talking about this one. Yeah. I have definitely dabbled in Duolingo at the beginning of the year. This is like a lot of times, this is the year I learned Spanish. And then I had overwhelmed myself with, oh, this is also the year that I'm going to read more books and practice yoga every day and meditate every day and learn guitar. And so something had to give. Unfortunately, it's so far, it's language learning. Maybe I can fold that into the routine a little bit later once more things become kind of a habit. Because I have always wanted to learn languages forever. And I haven't done much at all. Yeah, I took 1 year of French in high school, pretty much forgot all that. And then I've always wanted, because Spanish is probably the most practical, certainly in our area, you know, where you could actually not only just, there's more people, Spanish speaking people where we live, but, and that's good for like a live feedback too, right? That's a really, it's hard if you're speaking Italian, but you're the only person in Salem. You can't really bounce it off. You can do that on the app a little bit, but there's nothing beats like having a conversation with someone that is fluent in Spanish that can really help you. That's cool. Yeah, I had all those notifications on too. I had to finally turn them off because I'm like, look, it's not going to happen, right?
They eventually give up on you. I don't know if you got to that point, but because this is not my first Duolingo like attempt. Yeah. I love the idea of languages, but they're not something that come very naturally to me.
Yeah,
and I tend to get a little bit discouraged and just like over it.
Yeah,
this is maybe my longest streak, but. If you log in for a couple days, then Duo, right? Like the app, little creature, sends you notifications and reminders of, hey, you haven't studied yet today. And then after, if you don't respond to those and open the app, like after a couple weeks, I think it says something like, these obviously aren't working, so we're going to stop reminding you. It's the sassiest and snarkiest little app reminder.
Totally shame you.
But also, like, thank you. Thank you for respecting my screen. Like, if I'm,
You're like, well, you know what? That was kind of snarky, but you're kind of right.
Yeah.
It's not happening
this
time. I deserve that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's great. That's pretty awesome. Okay, well, yeah, one of these days. I can't even say that I will because I'm overwhelmed with what I have right now. So once I get better at guitar, then I can... Now has to be my main focus because I'm already lagging on that one.
That's a language in a different way.
It's true. Right? That's very true. Yeah. See, you made me feel better already. All right. My last cool sheet is another fun one. So this is an article, and it's called Chronicles of a Bubble Tea Addict. And it's by Zhai Yang Fan, and she is a writer for New Yorker. And she said that Boba and I spent our adolescence as scrappy, enterprising immigrants at America's periphery. For a new generation, it's ubiquitous, Instagram-friendly mark of Asian identity. So she was just 10 years old when she, or well, she was 8 when she moved to the U.S. And at the age of 10, she kind of discovered what bubble tea or boba tea is. She lived in a really, really white part of Connecticut. And about once, or no, just a few times a year, her and her mother would take the Metro North and head south to New York City to get groceries. And I mean, it was like an all-day affair. Her mom, she compared it like her mom to like some Tetris blood sport of an adventure. She took it very seriously because this is getting groceries for, you know, a few months. So they would always end the day at the Taipan Bakery, which offered end-of-the-day discounts on goods, on red bean buns and sponge cake. And then she found this this big giant plastic cup with a huge straw and these like shiny little marbles in the bottom. And she's like, what is that? And she got it, even though it was half of her mother's hourly wage. Her mother let her have it, and this became a tradition. And she actually, this is what really struck me about this. She goes, what I savored was the illusion, ever so rare, for a bewildered young immigrant, that we too could afford a few pearls of leisure. So this actually struggling and their identity and place and also income status, this made her feel kind of like they were a little more well-to-do. I love that about it. And then the article goes into how it kind of defined kind of Asian culture and how a lot of young people like her embraced that. But then it also had a backlash. So it was called boba liberalism. So it became like a negative thing. It's super fascinating of this like how simple article like bubble tea became so profound. And I really love it. The Chronicles of a Bubble Tea Addict. Shoo, shoo.
The layers of complexity to bubble tea.
I know. Who would have known, right? It is funny because when I saw the article, I was like, interesting. I've had bubble tea, but it's not like a thing for me. It's a little too sugary. Not to say, I mean, anytime I've had it, I'm like, wow, yeah, that's really good. Like, it's, you know, I'd have a milkshake every day too if I could, but I know I shouldn't. So I kind of feel like that with bubble tea as well. But yeah, how it got to be a part of her cultural personality and other kids around it, and then how this cultural thing that they were hanging on to, the young generation, and then the older generation kind of saw it as a negative, like, oh, this is like, you know, there's so much more to our culture than bubble tea, and everybody Instagrams it now, and they got annoyed, and that's such a thing that happens to everybody in the world. Hey, yeah. Guess what? We have more in common than we do differences. It's such a picture of that too. I was really surprised by how much I liked that article, so I had to add it to a cool sheet. Yeah,
love that. It's a good reminder that very few things are as simple as they may seem at first glance, right? There's a larger story behind almost everything, and the implications, and I love that.
Yeah, absolutely, because
sharing.
I wouldn't normally give a second thought to bubble tea, but now I want to go also read the other article that was kind of the negative, what bubble tea, how it's been negative to Asian culture. Now I'm super interested about that, to hear that side of the story, because I do think it's good to hear all sides and then see what I think about it afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, my last cool sheet is the balancer of my list, because everything else has been very mindful and grounded and calm. And then I'm going to share my favorite game, which is where all the like rage and screaming comes out. And I just love it. And it makes me so happy. And it's also why I need to do more yoga. So my favorite game is Dutch Blitz. It's a card game that you have to have a very specific deck of cards for. It's a Dutch Blitz deck. And these cards are primary colored. So they're, you know, red and green and blue and yellow. And on the cards are numbers. And then this was originally a Mennonite card game. So there's little Mennonite girls and boys kind of in traditional clothing. And this game is like solitaire meets speed meets pretty much every card game that stresses you out, like put together in one. And it's just so much fun if you're into that sort of thing. So you sit with a group of people and everyone has their own deck of cards. And in front of you, you have piles that you're trying to get rid of from your deck of cards. And you're playing like multiple games at once. So in the middle of the table, you're building the card piles up from one numerically by color. So green one, green two, green three. In front of you, you have your piles that you're trying to get rid of. And you are building those down like solitaire numerically, like 9, 8, 7, 6. And the piles in front of you, the one downside of this game is it's very heteronormative. And sometimes we mix this up a little bit. But you go boy, girl in these piles. So you're alternating gender, you're decreasing numbers, you're increasing by color, and then you have your deck of cards in your hand and you're drawing those down by three at a time to play your piles down, and whoever gets rid of their piles first gets to scream blitz and be done with the game. This has become our yoga community's game of choice, which is really ironic. We played it at all of our retreats all over the country and all over the world, and some people love it and some people hate it. Generally, everyone around us gets very scared because it gets really intense and there's a lot of screaming and everyone's standing up and forgetting to breathe and their shoulders around their ears. And it's so much fun and it's just fantastic. If you've never heard of or played Dutch Blitz, definitely give it a try.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, I've never heard of it, but I got a little stressed out just hearing you explaining the rules, but also intrigued. I feel like I would like it. I think I would like it.
Definitely. Like, it's completely dependent on the group of people you play with. Like, I've just settled into a group of friends that were all super competitive at it. And so it's like,
it sounds like it gets pretty intense.
All in. Yeah. It's a game of speed and you've got multiple things going on. And so in some ways it's just another mindfulness practice of like, you literally can't think about anything else when you're playing this game. But it makes for a high energy evening of cards.
Yeah. You know, that's actually a super good point, though. A lot of times these kind of games, it is a mindful practice. I don't think a lot of people think about that, but that is very true. You know, whenever you find something where you're just super focused and then time goes away, that is what you're achieving in a mindful practice. So it is a good reminder. It's not a, well, I can just play games then, like be on whatever Xbox or whatever they're called for 6 hours and that's my mindful practice.
But I do think it's
but there's a connection.
Friendly and accessible in that way, right? I think a lot of people hear about the mindfulness practices and are like, well, I can't meditate, I can't sit still and just breathe for 5 or 10 minutes. So like, that's just not for me. And I think it's empowering to realize that pretty much anything in your life can be a mindfulness practice. Who is it? Is it Thich Nhat Hanh, I think, that has the mindfulness of washing the dishes and peeling the tangerine, right? Like anything that we devote our attention to can be a mindfulness practice.
Absolutely.
I would argue that probably not your phone. I don't think that falls into that because there's some really interesting science around how interacting with your phone, the screen, the dings, the notifications actually it makes it so you're unable to focus fully for like 25 minutes or something like that after a notification on your screen.
Yeah.
But pretty much anything else that we do, whether it be playing a game with friends or doing a puzzle or reading a book or walking or brushing your teeth, right? Like all of these things, depending on how you approach them, can be a mindfulness activity to just turn your mind off from the demands and obligations of life, even if it's a high speed, fast paced stressed out game.
It's very true. And like you said, it's people that think they could never meditate don't realize that they're basically doing that, a form of that, in a different way. So it is a good way you've already been doing it, so that's great. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. This was a delight.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Where can people learn more about you and things that you're up to?
Yeah. So on social media, I'm Mickey Trow, MikkiTrow at on Instagram. Our yoga and beer community is on Instagram at yoga and beer, all spelled out. The website is cheersandnamaste.com. So those would be probably the best and easiest places to interact with us.
That's great. And we'll have links to those ways to get a hold of you and all of our cool sheets here from the show on 10bestest.com/coats. So just remember 10bestest.com/coats, and you can check those out and then see some of those things that you're doing. It'd be really cool.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Brian.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Thanks, everyone, and stay curious.
Want to learn more about this week's cool sheets?
Head on over to 10bestest, that's 10bestest.com, for links to all of our cool sheets.
And sign up for our monthly newsletter with bonus cool sheets and other fun stuff.
10bestest will be back with an all-new episode next Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern.